How do we honor our parents in a practical, applicable manner? Are there limits to that? Are there boundaries that need to be set in certain cases? How do you honor parents who have acted dishonorably toward their children their whole lives? And can the relationship that one has with father on earth and mother on earth taint the relationship that person has with God as father? There was an evangelist on the streets of Australia trying to witness for Christ, and there was a young man that he was talking to, and he was trying to get the message across of a personal relationship with God, and the kid didn't quite get it. And the evangelist, not really thinking through the situation, used the wrong application, the wrong metaphor. He said, well, it's sort of like having a personal relationship with your father. The young man said, stop right there. If God's anything like my old man, I don't want anything to do with God.
For many people, dogs are satisfying pets. They value you, welcome you home, and often do what you want. There's almost nothing so fun as a dog that does every trick you want it to. And if you want to impress your neighbors, teaching your dog a few special tricks can do that too. But what's the key to all that fun with dogs? Well, it's obedience. A disobedient dog is no fun at all. So today in The Connection, Skip Heitzik continues a teaching from our current series, God's Top 10. This series takes a fresh look at the Ten Commandments and shows us how they fit into our lives. And today, we'll look at the topic of obedience. So stay tuned, right after we share a little bit more about our Connect with Skip resource this month.
Here is Skip with Joel Rosenberg to talk about this month's offer, Joel's book, The Jerusalem Assassin.
When Joel Rosenberg releases a new book, I can't wait to read it. He never disappoints. Recently, I was able to talk with Joel about this book from his home in Jerusalem.
It's about an American president who's about to roll out his Middle East peace plan.
Joel Rosenberg's novels are dramatic stories ripped from the reality of today's headlines.
Wow, a Saudi-Israeli peace plan, that would be huge. That would be historic. Let's do it. Let's do a summit in Jerusalem. That's the setup of the Jerusalem Assassin.
Hey, what's amazing about that is this is a plausible scenario.
The Jerusalem Assassin by Joel Rosenberg is our special offer this month. Your hardcover copy of The Jerusalem Assassin is our thank you gift when you give $35 or more today to help expand this Bible teaching outreach with Skip Heitzik. So, call now to get your copy. 800-922-1888. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
I hope you will order your copy of The Jerusalem Assassin by Joel Rosenberg. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look at global events, and you will be supporting our media ministry.
That's 800-922-1888. Or online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
We continue in our series, God's Top 10, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. So turn there in your Bibles, and let's join Skip Heitzik.
Relationships are precious, and family relationships are most precious. But that they're also precarious. That is, in our culture, they're being attacked, they're being assailed, they're being assaulted. And so to keep this fifth commandment in this culture is difficult. We went from general to specific last week, and now today we want to finish it up, and we want to look at the substance of this command practically. What do we practically do to honor our father and our mother? And then finally, the security of this commandment personally. Now, somebody once said that the Ten Commandments are really God's principles for preventing pain. Well, if you think about it, it makes sense. God in His Word has given us all that we need for a full, healthy, satisfying life, and the Ten Commandments are the ten fundamentals for that. So I like that. Ten principles for preventing pain. Something about these commandments in general, and this one in particular, is there's no age specificity that is given. It doesn't say, if you happen to be 12 years of age and under, honor your father and your mother. It's that generic understood you and the commandment honor at any ages, at all stages of life. You may be familiar with that Brother Grimm's story about the young father who had his own family and his mother had died, and so he invited his elderly father to come and live with the family. So they had the dad there at the dinner table, but he was older, and so he would make noises at the dinner table. He would slurp his soup, which drove that young man's wife a little crazy, and so they got together, what do we do? And they decided, let's put dad in the corner while we eat. So they did. Dad was making his noises in the corner, removed from the family dinner table. They eventually even moved him in the kitchen where he would sit alone. As time went on, the old guy got older and couldn't even hold a spoon nor a fork. And so that young couple gave that old man a trough. They put his food in a trough, and he was forced to bend down like an animal and to eat. Well, one day, that young father was outside and heard a noise in the garage, and there was his son with his dad's tools making something, and the dad was so excited. My son's energetic, ambitious, creative. Son, what are you making? He said, and the boy looked up with a big smile. Dad, I'm making you and Mom a trough for when you get older. And it dawned on that young father, the way I've been treating my dad is the way my kids will be treating me when I'm older. This commandment, the fifth commandment, verse 12, is a unique commandment. And Paul even says it's unique. He quotes this in Ephesians 6, which we're going to look at in just a moment, and says, this is the first command with promise. And let's look at that commandment and that promise. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. What does that mean practically? How do we honor our parents in a practical, applicable manner? Are there limits to that? Are there boundaries that need to be set in certain cases? How do you honor parents who have acted dishonorably toward their children their whole lives? And can the relationship that one has with father on earth and mother on earth taint the relationship that person has with God as father? There was an evangelist on the streets of Australia trying to witness for Christ, and there was a young man that he was talking to, and he was trying to get the message across of a personal relationship with God, and the kid didn't quite get it. And the evangelist, not really thinking through the situation, used the wrong application, the wrong metaphor. He said, well, it's sort of like having a personal relationship with your father. The young man said, stop right there. If God's anything like my old man, I don't want anything to do with God. So let's delve more deeply into this command today, and let's look at the practical substance of this command. Notice the first word of verse 12 is a word we haven't really considered yet, and that's the word honor. What does it mean to honor? Well, let me give you the literal definition of the word. It's the Hebrew word kabod, and it means to add weight to or to make something heavy. So if you want to be very literal, the commandment is add weight to, make heavy your father and your mother. You say, I don't need to. They're getting older. They're already adding their own weight on. That's not really what it means. So what does it mean to add weight to or to make something heavy? Well, it's an interesting word, kabod. It's very similar, in fact, the same root to another Hebrew word, kabod, which is the word glory, for the glory of God. Just as there is a weightiness to the character and nature of God in his majestic glory, there is to be a weightiness to how you and I treat our parents on earth. In fact, something else that's very similar in the Hebrew language, you've heard the phrase, the fear of the Lord. It's a Hebrew word, yirat. Yirat Yahweh is the fear of the Lord. And it's the same word used in Leviticus 19 of children revere, yare, your father and your mother. As you fear the Lord, respect, reverence, honor God because of the weightiness of his majesty and glory, so you are to revere, yare, your parents. Let me state it in another fashion. How you treat the parents you can see will give an indication how you treat God whom you can't see. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 in your New Testament. I mentioned last week that this fifth commandment is repeated several times in the Bible. Here's one instance in which Paul will not only state it again, but he'll amplify it and make it meaningful for us as New Testament believers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now here you'll notice not one, but two commands. First is obey, that's an action. The second is an attitude, that's honor. Obey and honor. Obey is an action, honor is the attitude that forms the basis for the action of obedience. So as you honor, that will be seen in how you obey your parents. Now I gotta tell you honestly, I grew up breaking this commandment a lot. So I stand before you as a child who didn't keep this commandment all the time. Neither did you, by the way, I'm sure. There were times not only did I disobey, but I had a bad attitude. I was mad at my parents. And I mentioned last week that as soon as I became a true believer in Christ, I gave my life to Christ, that the Lord said, go humble yourself before your own father and ask his forgiveness. And I mentioned last week that I didn't want to do that because after all, I'm now right. I'm a Christian. I'm enlightened. I know the truth. Why should I humble myself? That was the why reason I should humble myself. It was like God was saying to my heart, if your parents are going to see any life change in you at all, it's got to be in how you honor them. So I asked their forgiveness. That began healing. It didn't make everything. It wasn't a magic wand. It wasn't perfect after that. In fact, a few years after that, my brother died in a motorcycle accident, and we buried him. On the day of the funeral, after we put my brother in the ground, we came back home, and it was a very difficult family gathering. And my dad was very emotional for understandable reasons. He didn't know what to do with his emotion. And I remember him not really knowing what to do with me because now I'm this born-again Christian and I'm not thinking like he was thinking any longer. And he turned to me toward the evening and he shouted out to me, he said, you are going to hell. Now, how was I to respond to that? I tell you how I wanted to respond to that in the flesh, and it wasn't pretty. But I had a choice to make, and thank God I chose to submit to his spirit's lead rather than my own flesh. And I walked toward him after he was seething at me, and I put my arms around him, and I drew him close right to my chest, and I hugged him. And I said out loud, Dad, I love you. Then I decided that I would pray, not to myself, but out loud in his hearing. Thank you, Lord, for my father. Bless him. Heal this broken relationship that we have. And I was just praying out loud like this. At the end of that prayer, in Jesus' name, amen, there were tears streaming down my father's cheeks. And he said, choked up, that was beautiful. Thank you. And I saw from that moment on that every overture of meanness that would come from him would be met by an overture of love and kindness from me. Because you can only withstand love so long. But the Lord was teaching me personally to honor my father and my mother. Well, what does it mean practically? I'll tell you what it implies. It implies respect. When you address your parents, how do you address them? When you talk about your parents to somebody else, maybe that's really the telltale sign. What words do you choose to use? I remember in high school that my friends would talk about their dads using the term old man. Remember that? Yeah, my old man says this, or my old man did that. And even as a pagan teenager, I couldn't bring myself to call my dad the old man. Interesting, when I became a believer, I found that term in the Bible. And it doesn't refer to your dad, it refers to you. The old you. It says, put to death the old man. That doesn't give you the right to have a vendetta against your dad. It means put to death those things that oppose Christ that are in your fleshly nature. But respect is part of honor. I'll never forget what it was like the first time I visited the South and saw how just in the culture, and especially the Christian culture, how they treat their parents. When their parents walk in the room, you know what the kids do? They always stand up. And they'll say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Of course, it's yes, ma'am. Takes a little longer. Nonetheless, there was respect and is respect. Very different from those of us in the West. Parents come in, what's up, y'all, dude? There's just respect that is built in the language. To respect means you listen courteously as your parents ask you to do something or want to talk. Again, here is where I would often fail as a child. Because my dad would assign chores to us four boys, and when he would give us a chore, he'd also want to give us his philosophy on life and his work ethic, which is pretty high. So he'd ask us to do something, and then he'd say, now, son, a job worth doing, and then I'd say, I know, is worth doing well. And so I would do it. I would have the right action of obedience, but the wrong attitude, I didn't honor him. And that casts a dark shadow over a home, a kid's rotten attitude. It's like the father who said to his son, sit down, and the boy just stood there. I said, sit down. Oh, you stood erect. So the father commenced to take his belt off to fully convince his son to sit down. His son quickly sat down. And then the son said, Dad, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. That's not honoring. That's not respectful. That's only an outward form, not an attitude. Now, let me tell you a story about respect from the Bible. After the flood, there's a wild, crazy, weird incident of Noah, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 9. Noah drunk, laying naked in his tent. Now, we're not told what happened or why he did that. I mean, he had just seen the miraculous power of God in a flood. He survived it. And he's lying naked, drunk in a tent. I don't know if he's having post-traumatic flood syndrome or what it is exactly, but it wasn't a good day for Noah. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham walked into the tent and saw his father laying naked, and he left the tent and proceeded to gossip about what he had just seen. He's exposing his father's nakedness. You wouldn't believe what I saw. He started telling everyone. Well, he had two other sons, Noah did, Shem and Japheth. Their tact was completely different. The Bible says they walked into the tent backwards so they couldn't see their father's nakedness and took a blanket between them, walking backwards, and covered their father up. Eventually, Noah woke up, got up from the hangover, and addressed the three boys. He said to Shem and Japheth, who covered their father, blessed are you and blessed is the God of Shem and Japheth. But turning to Ham, who exposed him, he said something interesting. Cursed be Canaan. Canaan? Who's Canaan? Ham's son. As if to say, as a son, you have dishonored me. In your son, you will see the consequences in your lifetime. Cursed be Canaan. So respect, high on the list of what it means to honor parents. God the Father longs to have a relationship with you as his child and to show you how it's done, to show you how parenting is done as you relate to the perfect parent, God the Father, with a relationship with his son Jesus. Some of you long to have your past, your sins forgiven. Some of you feel empty inside, lonely and alienated. It's because you don't have a relationship, the one God meant you to have as a child with the Heavenly Father.
Responding with love. That's our call, and the ability to do that comes with the strength God gives. If you've been listening to Pastor Skip today and are ready for the forgiveness and change that comes through a relationship with Jesus, we want to welcome you at connectwithskip.com. There's a helpful section titled Know God, and that's where you can learn how to start fresh with Jesus today. And the teaching you just heard was titled Because I Said So. And now let's go in studio with Skip and Lenya to talk a bit more about this series. Lenya?
Well, we are wrapping up your fifth commandment, or not yours, the Lord's fifth commandment, but you're teaching on it today, and that was to honor our fathers and our mothers. And you're a father.
Mm-hmm.
You're also a grandfather.
I am indeed.
You're Papa.
That's right.
It's so cute. I'll tell a little story. Is that okay? Because I'm a grandma now. I can do that, right? Cadence was in my car yesterday, and I have a Bible in each side of my car doors, and she picked it up, and she was holding it on her lap, and she doesn't have a lot of words yet, but she kept showing it to me, and she kept going, Papa, Papa, Papa. And I just love that for Katie at this age already knows the Bible's something important to Papa. And she relates that to Papa. It just blesses my heart. So I think the listeners would like to hear how we taught our son Nathan about honoring the Lord, honoring us as his parents, and how we played this out in our life and our family.
Well, you know, every family is a family, and there's problems and wonderful things about each family. I think one of the things that Nate saw in our family is he saw us have our devotions. When he would wake up, he would often find both of us or one of us in one place, one in the other. But he'd come and find us with an open Bible, time in prayer. And so he knew that that was important to us. Besides him going to church or us taking him to different things like that, he saw how important it really was for us.
I love a picture because I remember you doing Bible study with him or vice versa. And one of our homes had a staircase on it, and there was a little landing, an old stairwell with a landing. And sometimes Nathan would say, I'm going to be daddy. And he would stand on the landing and open the Bible, and he would retell the story that you just told. And so it's just wonderful to let your kids sometimes tell the story. And Seth's been doing that lately, you know, in the backseat. Our grandson the other day, we just kept telling him, Mimi, Mimi, Jesus died for my sins. He's in my heart.
Yeah.
And so it's just engaging them in that. And I think we've told the audience before how you had the say, play, and pray method with Nathan. You would say the Bible.
Right. We'd read the story. That's the say part. We'd read the story in the Bible. Then we dress up in character. That's the play part. So we'd act it out. Typically, I'd be the bad guy. He'd
be
the good
Goliath.
Guy.
He'd be David.
He'd be David. So he'd understand the victories in the Lord. And he, you know, kids always love to beat their parents at something. And so he did quite often. And then we'd pray about a lesson that we learned. So we'd say it, we'd play it, then we'd pray about it. And we'd try to bring that lesson into our little hearts.
Well, thanks so much, guys. And I hope you'll take some time to connect with Skip today. You can when you like him on Facebook, follow him on Twitter or Instagram. And remember, you can get a copy of the entire God's Top 10 series for your personal study library in a convenient audio CD package for only $39 plus shipping. Or if you prefer to get each teaching individually, you can also do that at connectwithskip.com or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. Have you ever gotten away with murder? The answer may surprise you, and it's coming up next time here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wood. Make a connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.